on today's Compassion Radio.
The hunger for Bibles is so great. A woman from Western China came to Beijing and was making and selling pancakes on the street, and all the money that she earns to purchase Bibles. Imagine doing that from morning to night, day in and day out, for a solid year to raise money so that you can get Bibles to give to those who need them. Wow.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
What happens when you pack your bags and hop a plane across an ocean? Why, usually, you'd say vacation. Now, what if those bags are packed with contraband that might cost you prison time in a foreign country if you're caught? Well, around here, we call that being obedient to the highest calling of all. Norm welcomes our good friend and go-to producer as a special guest today. You'll find out what it's like to be God's mule on this edition of Compassion Radio.
Our guest today on Compassion Radio is actually one of our own, and in that sense, he's not a guest at all. Jim Governale, it's great to see you across the table from me today.
It's great to see you, Norm. It's an honor to be here.
Well, our listeners get to hear you announce segments of the program, and you do a great job for us. Today, you're not functioning in that way. We're going to be talking about an experience that you and I and my wife and a group of other broadcasters shared back in 1995 when we made our first trip to China. And we were focused on the need for Bibles in China. And we've got some stories and experiences that I think might be interesting to our listeners and perhaps some insight into the need for Bibles in China and why this is such an important project that we have going right now during this month of January. Jim, we were together in a meeting before taking off on an aircraft to fly to Hong Kong. But we got acquainted and got to know each other as we were in China on that first trip back in 1995. The thing I remember so well, and I want to ask you about this because we all have different perspectives, but our group was carrying Bibles into China from Hong Kong, and that's before Hong Kong was returned to the political control of mainland China. We had quite an experience because when we took off from Hong Kong, it wasn't that long a flight to Shanghai, but when we got there, something happened that we had not really counted on. You might want to tell our listeners about what happened.
I do remember we were with a group of broadcasters, and as we met, we were each given a couple of additional suitcases that were filled, that were packed tight with Bibles. And we were told pretty much what to do, what the protocol was going to be, what to expect, what to avoid, and to try not to make eye contact with with some of the guards, so to speak, who were there to meet us at the airport. But maybe some of us had a little bit of fear. But I was a little nervous because I didn't really know what to expect. Here we were bringing in quote-unquote contraband, you know, that were Bibles packed in these suitcases, bringing something into the country that for whatever reason the powers that be were not too thrilled about and didn't really want them there. And here we were as Americans. I think to a certain extent we kind of felt immunity maybe from really getting in big trouble because we were Americans.
Yeah.
But there was some concern about it, and it was quite an adventure once we got to the airport, that's for sure.
As I remember, there was kind of the pressure that none of us really wanted to be caught because the situation was that when you arrive there and claim your luggage and these bags full of Bibles come out, we pick them up, and we had, as you say, kind of a protocol. We were supposed to pretend that we weren't seeing people that might want to stop us or whatever.
Right.
And just kind of keep moving.
Keep moving.
And just keep moving. Don't make eye contact with any of the officials. And then there was the dreaded X-ray machine. And we were supposed to kind of make sure that we weren't carrying these suitcases or moving along with what they call trams, moving these Bibles. And we didn't want to get anywhere near that because they would take the suitcases and X-ray the content, and then we would be found out. There might have been an element of pride involved in that. I don't want to be the one who's caught.
Right, right. Well, in my case, I think they were trying to kind of pair us off.
Yeah.
There may have been roughly 20 of us on that trip, maybe not quite that many. Mm-hmm. But they paired me off with a gal who actually worked with the ministry we were with. Her name was Mary. And so they just kind of said, okay, Jim and Mary, you guys be a couple.
Yeah.
And so once we got to the airport, we were supposed to kind of team off as though we were, you know, married. Mm-hmm. I just kind of followed Mary's lead. She did an mm-hmm. excellent job of getting her luggage, and I got mine, and the suitcases had wheels on them, and we basically had to get from the point where the luggage was coming off the rack there, then to go through the crowd of people who were waiting for other folks getting off flights, to basically just get outside the airport.
Yeah.
That was our goal, to get from point A to point B, to get those suitcases filled with Bibles out of the airport,
yeah,
off to the curb. And I followed Mary. She did an excellent job of avoiding eye contact and acting distracted. And here I was, her husband, saying, honey, I'm coming, with my suitcases yeah, yeah. filled with Bibles. We were able to get out. But I do recall seeing you and Cher off to the side, and I thought, uh-oh, it looks like yep. they got Norm and Cher.
They got us. They got us. You know, we're laughing about it right now, but at the time, it was a very intimidating experience. Cher and I have told this story in some detail, you know, obviously from our perspective, but we have a lot of new listeners who have not heard this story.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was so amazing about that, of being caught with Bibles, who worries in the United States when you're going through immigration or customs, when you're carrying Bibles or a Bible in your luggage? Who's worried about being caught with a Bible?
Mm.
Bibles for us are a given. We take them for granted. In China, it is still not true that you can take a Bible for granted. We had a very interesting experience while we were being interrogated there, and they did confiscate the Bibles. The thing that made us feel better, however, they finally let us go, minus the Bibles. But then we discovered that the Bibles do resurface either on the black market, or they can be picked up and carried out of the country. You get a receipt for them.
Right.
And then you can reclaim them and bring them back to the United States. The point of all of this is, if you were caught with Bibles, they would not be lost. And I think that's an important point to make.
Absolutely.
Jim, in the midst of all of this, just getting Bibles through customs in an airport in China, did that in any way affect your view of those little black books that were crammed into the suitcases?
Without question, Norm. I just felt so inadequate. I remember thinking to myself, gee, how was it that I was chosen to go on this trip?
Yeah.
We later met with different pastors and different evangelists. We were able to see the incredible intensity of their faith and the incredible need for these Bibles. When I came back from the trip, I had to go on the radio and make pitches for people to call in and make pledges.
Yeah.
I would go on the air and say, folks, when you get home or wherever you are, go into your study and count the number of Bibles that mm-hmm. you have. And can we count on you to pledge to send that number of Bibles that you have?
Yeah.
Once again, it brought back home how we take for granted God's Word and how we take for granted having a Bible of our own. And boy, did that bring it home, how incredibly important it is to get these Bibles to people who are just so desperate to have their own copy.
Yeah. The hunger for Bibles is so great. And I remember this story, which just blew me away. A woman came from Western China, from the far west of China, came to Beijing and was making and selling pancakes on the street. And all the money that she earned selling pancakes to passersby to purchase Bibles and provide them for Christians and people that she knew that had a hunger for the Word of God. Imagine doing that, making your full-time vocation, moving across a vast country like China. Just imagine the United States, and you move from Los Angeles, let's say, to Philadelphia. And you get out on the street, you have your own little concession, and everything you do from morning to night, day in and day out, for a solid year, is to raise money so that you can get Bibles to give to those who need them. Wow. That made a real impression on me. Jim, one of the other things that happened while we were on that particular trip, because of what happened in the airport, we were fingered, so to speak, by the PSB, which means the Public Security Bureau. They followed us everywhere we went. They were in the lobby waiting for us to make a move to walk down the street.
Yeah.
You remember the guy on the motorcycle?
I sure do. I remember seeing him in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. We were being followed by what were, in fact, plainclothesmen. And the government had unleashed these guys to watch us. And the thing that was really scary to me was that if they caught us with Chinese citizens who were distributing Bibles, taking Bibles and giving them to people in an unauthorized manner, those people could be arrested, imprisoned. How did that make you feel? It was like living in a James Bond movie.
There's no such thing as being a tourist for God. When He sends us, it's always with a purpose, and there are no guarantees it will go pleasantly for us. On the other hand, there is no adventure like a God adventure. Norm and Jim will be back in a moment with more of their story of God smuggling, after a word from Norm on how you can join the adventure. Now, some of the people we admire the most are the Christians in China. Here's Norm to explain how we can join them today in the most important period in the history of the Christian church.
There's one thing that I believe you want to do very much. You want to bring somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, instead of agonizing over that objective, instead of feeling guilty about procrastinating concerning that desire, why don't you just take my advice and get the job done right now? How can you do that? Well, you can give Bibles to people in China who are hungry to read God's Word. Listen to this. For every Bible that is distributed in China, five, count them, five people come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What could be a better investment than that? Now, during this month, we're providing you the opportunity and the privilege to send Bibles to China through our annual Operation God's Word campaign. For every Bible you contribute to this project, one will be placed in the hands of a Chinese man or woman who wants one. And with that gift of a Bible, you can count on five people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. To date, our Operation God's Word campaign has provided about 400,000 copies of the Word of God to people in China who desire to follow Christ, to grow in His Word, and to share the gospel in others. As you may or may not know, the growth rate of Christianity in China is the greatest in the 2,000-year history of Christianity. It's the most effective investment I know in bringing people to Christ. Friend, join our Operation God's Word campaign. Be a contributor to the greatest Christian spiritual revolution in history.
Now, as an added incentive to send your money for Bibles for China this year, we want to provide you, at your request, for your gift of $25 or more, a very inspiring book that Norm has chosen for you specifically called The Grave Robber, or How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. It's written by Mark Batterson, who's a New York Times bestselling author, and it reveals the incredible power of the seven miraculous signs of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. These are not only things Jesus did in the past, but also something He wants to do now in the present. If you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, you will love this faith-building, life-giving message. So make this your first Christmas project this year. Give for Bibles for China, and then request for your gift of $25 or more this wonderful book called The Grave Robber.
Friends, the revolution continues, and you can be part of it. Just give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now back to Norm and Jim Governale.
If they caught us with Chinese citizens who were distributing Bibles, taking Bibles and giving them to people in an unauthorized manner, those people could be arrested, imprisoned. How did that make you feel? It was like living in a James Bond movie.
I think I was a little slower to catch on to what was happening than some of the other guys in our group. Slower in the sense that when I came to realize, you know what, this is our second day here. We're getting up, leaving the hotel lobby, and there's that guy on the motorcycle again.
Yeah.
When it dawned on me that we were being followed, I remember thinking, this is just so silly. Don't they have anything better to do?
Yeah.
We even actually started making faces at these people to a certain extent. I quickly came to realize through the gentlemen who were there with us to be our leaders on the trip that whoever we were associating with as the Chinese nationals, as you mentioned, these different evangelists and pastors in plain clothes, whoever we were associating with could very well get in big, big trouble, be thrown in jail. Their families could be impacted. There's a number of things that could go haywire.
Yeah, yeah.
Once that settled in with me, it deeply, deeply impacted me to think, this is not a trivial thing in any way, shape, or form.
Jim, there was a group of people responsible for, we like to use the word place Bibles in the hands of people, Christians, Chinese Christians who want them.
Right.
We tend not to use the word distribute because that's kind of random. We want our listeners to know that when we provide Bibles for Christians in China, every Bible is handed to a person who wants a Bible.
Absolutely.
It's done very carefully. But I remember that we were trying to connect with some of these guys that were involved in the placement of Bibles. It took us an entire week before it was safe enough for us to connect with them. And we went to the Great Wall of China. Remember that 7 o'clock wake-up call that we gave to the personnel at the desk? What happened?
For several days there, it was obvious that we were being followed, our every move at the hotel. And even if we went to a restaurant, you know, they were there watching us. And here we were, a group of 15 to 20, you know, broadcasters. I don't know whose idea it was, but we did have an extra early wake-up call that one morning so that we could basically get in and out without being detected. I do remember that very well.
We left the hotel at 5 a.m., but we had given to the people behind the desk instructions to give us wake-up calls at 7 a.m.
That's right.
So it was a bit of subterfuge. Once again, I mean, the old-timers listening to the program will be thinking of Dick Tracy. Some of the middle-aged people will be thinking about James Bond. I don't know who the kids today would think of, but it had that quality to it, and it was serious business. When we got to the Great Wall, it took an hour. They had to move 100 yards from where they were hiding in the parking lot at the Great Wall of China to go 100 yards. They had to wait until exactly the right moment. Then they got on the bus with us, and off we went, and we did all of our interviewing and all of our talking to them in this moving vehicle. Mm. And then at the end of that several hours that we spent with them in this moving vehicle, let them out in a rural area, and they disappeared into a cornfield. And I remember Cher cried as she watched these courageous pastors and Bible distributors disappear into that cornfield. Who knows what was going to happen to them? We had to be that careful because of the threat of arrest and persecution that attended their meeting with a group of Americans who had Bibles for them. I tell you, Jim, that really impacted me. It was no joke at all. We also met some pastors, old pastors, who had spent, in some cases, I remember Alan Yuan at that point, he had spent over 18 years in prison. Another great old pastor, Moses Shia, had spent 22 years in prison. Why? Simply because they were Christian pastors who refused to stop proclaiming the gospel, even when it was illegal to do so. And they were incarcerated for all of those years. What did you see in those men? How did their spirit impress you and impact you as you had the opportunity to meet them and talk with them and hear their stories?
You know, Norm, what was just so mind-boggling to me, whether it was 5 years in prison, whether it was 15 or 18 years, I remember Pastor George Chen, they really thought nothing of it. We were looking at them like they were incredible heroes for the faith, for doing this. And I think that they probably appreciated our being there as tools to get Bibles into the country. But their attitude basically was, hey, I'm no better than anyone else.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so I served 18 years in prison. That's just what was expected of me. You know, I'm involved in the daily production of the show here. It's so rewarding to me to listen to the programs as I'm producing them and getting them ready for air. Just the fact that they expect to be persecuted. They know no other life but that. That was so unbelievably eye-opening to all of us broadcasters, and I think we all brought that home with a very humble heart as we went on the air to share the stories.
I will have to say that in my own life, the experience of being with those men really raised in my mind the question of whether I was really committed to Jesus Christ. Mm. And I remember others in our group on that first trip to China. Cher and I have been back to China 15 times since then. But still, when we meet with the great old saints who went through experiences of prison, I ask myself, would I be willing to make that sacrifice for the cause of Christ? and I consider their prayer life and the fact that Alan Yuan, who was known as the Billy Graham of China after being released from prison, I remember one time when we met with him there in Beijing, and he had just finished baptizing 300 university students in a city park. The Chinese FBI would be watching this, and that he was in danger for doing that because baptizing those young people in a public place like that was really illegal. It was a threat to the state. Jim, we haven't had enough time really to share the whole story, but I would like to ask you, if you would, to just say something to our listeners. If they've gleaned anything from this discussion that we've had today about the hunger for the Word of God in China and how important it is that we get Bibles, especially to the house church Christians, the unregistered church, that is, the churches that have refused to come under the control of the national government of China, the Communist Party of China, and operate outside of their approval and control. Why is it so important that our listeners contribute to this Operation God's Word campaign to get Bibles to China?
You know, the thing that comes to my mind, Norm, the brothers and sisters that we spoke to there on the mainland, whether it was the pastors who spent a lot of time in jail, whether it was just a regular citizen that we spoke to, with each person that we would talk to, we would ask them, how can we pray for you? Mm. We were broadcasting them. We were recording them through translators, and we would ask them, if you can say anything to our American brothers and sisters,
yeah,
because we're taking these recordings back home, every single one of them would say, please send Bibles. Please send Bibles. And I remember we would look amongst each other and just and go, wow, that's really what they want. Yeah. Despite the persecution, despite whatever dangers they may find themselves in, to every man and woman, it was, please send more Bibles. And that really was the rallying cry that we brought home to the States.
They have literally a hunger, a visceral hunger for the Word of God. And we've seen the Bibles that they receive. I have a couple of them in my office as samples of the kind of Bibles that are placed in the hands of these heroic Christians who hunger for God's Word. I'll tell you, they are used, they are read, and we know, on average, for every Bible that's contributed, 5 people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amazing.
When I consider that generous listeners have contributed over 400,000 copies of God's Word, of the Bible, in the Chinese language through this Operation God's Word campaign, multiply that by 5, and you know what you have? 1 million converts.
Mm.
That's fantastic.
It certainly is.
What could you do that would be better and more important, and honestly, would be more cost-effective in spreading the Word of God and sharing the gospel of Christ than to give a Bible to a Chinese Christian who wants one and who will use it as a weapon in the spiritual warfare of our time to bring more people to faith in Jesus Christ. Jim Governale, boy, it's been great to have you here. We go back to 1995, that first trip. It changed our lives, didn't it?
It most certainly did. We talk about investment. Top investment on the dollar. You can't do any better than sending Bibles to China.
You really can't. Jim, your presence with us, working with us here at Compassion Radio, is a joy. And the fact that we share this experience and this passion really makes our relationship special. Thanks for being with us today as a guest on Compassion Radio.
An honor and privilege. Thank you, Norm.
If we really love Him and seek His return, will burn for the lost.
If we really love Him and seek His return, our hearts will burn for the lost.
How can we speak of His coming when so many still do not know? Return. Our hearts will burn for
millions who are one introduction away from a life of joy and peace in Jesus. The Christians of China are doing their part to reach all of East Asia with the life-changing power of the gospel. All they ask from us is a supply of Bibles to give these new believers the bread of life. Even a simple gift of $6 can put a copy of God's Word in the hands of someone who desperately and truly desires it. Will you help today? Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, we're on the web at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Bram Floria. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again Monday for the next Compassion Radio.